Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Lost in the Static. I am and will continue to be Scott Murray. And with me today, returning, we missed you last week, although I had a good time with Dustin, is Josh Hadley.
You know, because I'm like Dustin Kidd, you know, and I'm really excited, you know, Dustin's a friend. I'm just fucking with him. Yes, I'm Josh Hadley, and I'm back.
Yes, Josh is back. I had a great time. I recorded a pretty good show with Dustin. And
which kept going back to food.
Well, we were hungry.
Unintentionally kept going, twisting back to food.
It was dinner time, and we were both hungry. And
he's Canadian.
He's Canadian, so that makes me think of poutine and
maple syrup.
And maple syrup. And not on poutine, because that's kind of gross.
Back bacon?
I love Canadian bacon.
Back bacon is what they call it.
I know. They just call it bacon.
No, on the Great White North on SCTV, it was always back bacon.
I know. But anyway, today...
Well, no, we got to do the...
Yes, I know. Today, you and I are going to be talking about a certain video online where they're going through 10 failed projects, or products, rather.
We'll get into everything that's wrong with you in that statement in a minute.
That's exactly what we're doing, is we're doing the public service of redefining failure. Now... Let's say that you're a failure in the bedroom and you want to redefine failing in the bedroom success.
I think you would go to your computer and would go to adamandeve.com. And then if you plunked in the promo code static, they would send you 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift. They'd cover the shipping and they'd even take 50% off of a single item. All you'd have to use is the promo code static at adamandeve.com. And you wouldn't fail.
Exactly. And if you want to keep us from being failures, because we're always working on that, if you want to keep us from being failures.
Yeah, good luck with that.
First off, thank you very much to all of our patrons who have gone to patreon.com, patreon.com, /lostinthestatic, and pledged us. As I think the smallest amount I've seen is like $1. And the biggest amount I've seen, I think we've had a couple of people break the $25 a month deal. But that is a great way if you want to support us, you can just go there and pledge a small amount, and there you go. And a lot of people have said, well, what about donating through PayPal or something like that? For every dollar that you send us via PayPal, we get a little under 75 cents of it.
Also, you know, if you do want to, that does help in a more immediate sense.
Yes,
so too.
It does help in a more immediate sense. But with Patreon, you can do it monthly and you can kind of forget about it. It'll all be taken care of. And you know that you're supporting us. So thank you very much again. Patreon.com/lostinthestatic.
Cat does not need to be on keyboard.
Cat has decided that there is something very exciting on my desk.
That's not the mouse. That's not the mouse you are after, Kitty.
I don't know what she's going after, but...
Plastic.
Anyway.
So we're gonna talk about... Now, I have a ton of issues with this website. Okay? They're going to say their website name off the top. I have been very public of how much I think WatchMojo.com is one of the worst pop culture websites out there. They are worse than BuzzFeed. Yes, I just said that, Scott, with how much they pander, how little research they do, and how much they don't know about what they talk about. So WatchMojo, of course, it's one of the most popular YouTube channels out there because it's so awful. Because that's the way that works, right? Quality has no relation to watchability.
But
not even going to follow that, huh?
No, I'm not. Right. In this video, we were going to be doing a show on failed computer products, like
which
the
might
Apple
be
Pippin
just still down the line.
Yeah, and the next box and stuff like that. And so I just looked up what was it, failed products. And WatchMojo popped up with the top 10 brands that failed. And we're going through here and we're like, that wasn't a failure. That's not a failure. And I think that
their definition seemed to have been, they don't exist anymore, therefore they're a failure.
Right.
That's not how that works.
Right. Okay, let's...
Would you say that MGM was a failure as a movie studio because they went bankrupt?
Complete and utter failure. They made nothing but garbage.
It doesn't matter that they made
the
century,
time.
You know, they made billions of dollars over almost a century. Failure because they eventually crashed.
Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola?
With New Coke?
Failure.
Failure.
Oh, wait, Coca, no. Wait, no, it's
they're
not.
Still around and still the number one soda brand
just
in
because
the world.
Well, now, some of the ones that they bring up don't exist at all anymore. Fine, right. Fair enough. That doesn't mean they failed. It just means something changed in the environment where they could no longer exist. I mean, let's get to the first one, which is a company that lasted over a century. Total failure, Scott.
Okay, well, here's the intro and their video.
These companies were not too big to fail. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we'll be counting down our picks for the top 10 brands that failed. Number 10, Lehman Brothers. Kicking off our list is the largest bankruptcy in United States history. Both a casualty and a cause of the subprime mortgage crisis, this financial services firm was a victim of its own greed.
Okay, I know they have more to say about Lehman Brothers, but first off...
It was formed in 1850.
Yeah, formed in 1850. It ran
160 years.
163 years, actually.
I'm rounding.
I know. 160 years. Incredible amount of...
Probably more money passed through their hands than anything this side of a government.
In fact, I'm willing to bet that if you... Any of your bank transfers that you've done in the United States, at least, I don't know about worldwide, but in the United States, I'm willing to bet that some money that you handled at some point, whether it was cash or an electronic transfer or something like that, part of it went through Lehman Brothers. Now, I had a good chunk of investments up until about 2008. And part of it was in a Lehman Brothers fund. A fund that died, well, along with
the company.
The company and the rest of
but my again,
money.
Just but again, just because the company went under doesn't mean it was a failure. Is 160 years rounded a failure as a company? Most companies don't make it 5 years.
Right. Plus, this, again, biggest bankruptcy in U.S. history. Reason being, Lehman Brothers was one of the biggest financial companies in U.S. history.
They also kind of caused their own problem.
Yes.
Over a long term of playing the field to the point where it was eventually going to burst, and it burst all over their face.
Exactly. I will kind of hand them Lehman Brothers a little bit for the simple reason that they were the cause of their own failure.
And the only one little leeway I'll give to this one is they did crash awful quick. Now, that, if you want to say, is a failure, fine. But I don't consider 160 years rounded of a history to be a failed company.
Okay, let's see what else they have to say about Lehman Brothers.
Losses piled up, stocks took a nosedive, but the government decided not to pass the burden onto taxpayers.
I never once considered that it was appropriate to put taxpayer money on the line in resolving Lehman Brothers.
Lehman Brothers was the biggest, but definitely not the only, company to fail during this recession. Number 9.
Okay. The biggest, but not the only, company to fail.
So then why aren't the other companies on the list?
Yeah, for one thing. For another...
Bear Stearns?
Yes. Yeah. What, for those that don't understand, what happened with Lehman Brothers was they put a lot of money on dominoes, and they didn't realize that once one of those little dominoes fell, a whole bunch of others are going to fall because you had crappy
financial. Each one was propping the other one up.
Exactly. And so they did. They failed horribly in that one instance, and it was enough to drag the company down. But I can tell you that through probably about the year 2000, any investment with Lehman Brothers was a solid investment.
And that was 150 years built on that investment. 150
exactly.
years of doing it right.
Exactly.
Maybe not legally, but right.
No, they were doing it legally, too.
Nah, it was always sleazy. They were always sleazy.
Sleazy, though. But legal. It's a narrow
the
line.
The SEC might argue that line, but okay.
But the next one is a company that hits a little bit at home with us. simply because we're from Wisconsin, not because
well,
we're
you're
beer
not from
drinkers.
Wisconsin. Well, you're just in Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin.
You're from Wisconsin. But at the same time, I remember this drink being around and being.
I remember this was everywhere when I was a kid. Yeah.
Everywhere. And, well, here they are.
Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company. Schlitz was the beer that made Milwaukee famous, and during the early 20th century, it was a top beer in the U.S. But they changed the formula to save money, and it was a disaster. Go figure.
Okay. This one I'm almost willing to give them because they did the Schlitz did this to themselves. They did the same thing that Coke did, given they did it, what, 40 years before Coke did?
Schlitz did it earlier, yeah.
Yeah, Schlitz did it in the first half of the 20th century.
I thought they did it in the 70s.
Was it?
When they changed everything.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I thought it was the 70s.
Okay, we'll say at least 15 to 20 years before Coke did. But yeah, they took an award-winning formula for beer. And it was not expensive beer, but it was. I mean, Schlitz.
But from a business perspective, if we can save money, why are we not?
Yeah. And so they changed the formula a little bit. When they changed the formula, they dropped the price. They turned it into a low end beer because it used to be mid grade. It used to be about Budweiser quality, which again, not high quality in any way, shape, or form, but not horrible either. I remember Schlitz in the 90s, in the 80s and 90s, it was a joke.
Oh, yeah. Nobody. When I used to work at a grocery store when I was in high school, and it was like, holy crap, you mean we got to restock the Schlitz? You mean someone bought one?
Yeah.
Seriously, that was the joke. That shit would just sit in the back room. Maybe 2-3 times a year we'd have to restock that because somebody would buy a case of Schlitz.
But again, Schlitz started in what, late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere around there?
Somewhere in that area.
Lasted a good long, long time as an independent company. Not a failure by any stretch of the imagination. And again, worked their way up to be the Wisconsin beer.
But like I said, I think Watch Mojo in their, just ardent desire to be as mainstream and as idiotic as possible is defining failure as doesn't exist anymore, which even in this case, what you're about to hear, that's not even true in that what I just described.
That's right. Because Schlitz had a brighter future than you thought, and it's still around.
After some devastating worker strikes, Schlitz was sold and faded from popularity. Today, the brand is owned by Pabst, who has recreated the original recipe and is selling nostalgia in a bottle.
So, yeah, a total failure, right? Yes, they had a really dark time and they got sold. The brand is still there, so how is the brand a failure?
I don't know. I mean...
You know what's a failed brand? WatchMojo.com! That's a failed goddamn brand because it doesn't do its job. I'm sorry. I'm really bitter at how many hits these fucking hacks get.
I know. Again, we saw the same thing happen with Coke. Coke is not a failed brand. Nobody would believe it's a failed brand. It's still around. They even dropped the classic and now they're just back to Coca-Cola. So what?
Because you have one disastrous product or a disastrous period that makes you a failure? No, that's not how that works.
You and I personally have had some disastrous projects.
Oh, yeah.
And disastrous moments.
It came from Beyond Midnight. I actually get really flustered when people tell me that they enjoy Beyond Midnight because it's a terrible show. It is.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm proud of it in a certain way, but it's a terrible show, and people are like, but I really loved it. It's like, then what's wrong with you?
Well, meh. But the deal is, when it comes to this stuff, children, listen up.
Yeah, because we have a large children audience.
Young people, listen up. The perceived view of success is start project, succeed. And that's the way it goes. The truth, and I can tell you from this, from personally, I can tell you this from businessmen I know, from from guys who are, you know, really drug their feet up off the ground to people who are millionaires now. This is the career path. Start project, fail. Start again, 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 succeed. That's how it goes.
And you also, once you succeed, you're never going to stay at that top. Everything is going to dip. Again, going to back to Watch Mojo. Right now, they're kind of at the top. That's not going to happen forever.
Right.
They're going to crash. So then is Watch Mojo, like I said, a failed brand?
No.
Because it will be.
Yeah. Every brand eventually fails. Time's not ruined
when you open a Schlitz. Number 8, Atari Inc. Arcade games would never be the same after Atari and Pong.
Okay, let's stop right there. This is a company that changed the game of...
Literally
changed the game of video games, changed the game of computer home entertainment. Atari. Everybody knows Atari. It's a household name. This was a company that came from nothing but some scroungy old hippies that to become a household name. How is this a failure?
Just play the entire clip. Play the entire clip to each one, and then we'll talk about each
one.
All
right, sorry. I know.
Atari also had one of the most popular consoles available, but consumer confidence plummeted thanks to a market full of crappy games. And Atari's E.T. was at the top of that list.
Discovering the best thing on Earth, a friend. E.T., only from Atari.
The ensuing video game crash of 1983 claimed many victims, including Atari. While the name still exists today, it is not the powerful company of yesterday. Number 7.
Okay. They admit right there, the name still exists today, but it's not as powerful. So how's that a failure? I mean, yes, they went through a couple of really horrible bankruptcies and they were eventually bought by Warner Brothers, who bankrupted them again. So, okay, Atari I might give them, because even after they were bought out of bankruptcy, they went bankrupt again 4 years later because of Warner Brothers' horrid mismanagement. So I'm almost willing to give them maybe Atari failed, even though it's still around. That one, maybe I'll redefine for failed.
And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they are still around. Atari still makes games. Yes, it's a different company. Yes, it's changed hands completely. But, well, for instance, this makes me think of, what was it, mid to late 90s, there was a 3D version of Pong released. I think for PlayStation, if not for multiple,
consoles,
but it was a great little 3D version of Pong. It was a lot of fun. They kind of animated the bars and made the bars little characters and stuff like that. I'll show it to you. It's actually a pretty decent game. And that was
when they redefined Tempest 2000 on the Jaguar, or as Tempest 2000. That was a fantastic.
That was an incredible game.
Yes.
And that was classic Atari. It was the Jaguar. And yes, they went through some horrible times, but Atari's still making games, or at least still distributing games, or
I think they're just software at this
point. Maybe they're just software at this point. But to tell you the truth, when I say Atari, you still know who I'm talking about, and you still think back to the literally game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And I
video games wouldn't be where they are if Atari had not done what it did. And I mean, we'll talk about this more in a future episode. I think the video game crash of 83, caused by partially by Atari, actually helped the game industry overall. I think it was one of those you needed to get to this low point to be able to rise back up better than you were before the crash.
Like anybody that plays a game knows, there's nothing wrong with a reset button.
No, so sometimes you need to clean the slate because there's too much crap,
that's
what happened there. Now, this one, 60 years. This company lasted 60 years. Total failure.
Right, and that's number 7.
Circuit City.
At Circuit City, we have service you can depend on.
Electronic superstores followed their roadmap, but that wasn't enough to keep Circuit City afloat. Inconvenient locations, bad customer service, and not targeting gamers were just some of their mistakes. However, they were still the number two electronics store in America when they filed for bankruptcy in 2008, then liquidated their assets and closed all stores. Radio Shack is a similar company whose stock prices imply is on a similar path.
Okay. I want to
Circuit
talk about
City had a lot of problems. This one they're not wrong on. They did have their customer service sucked.
Okay,
ass.
Circuit City's customer service was terrible, and the reason I can tell you that is I was an employee for Circuit City for 4 weeks. Right after I left Radio Shack in Muncie, I went over to Circuit City. I know, jumping from one great boat to another, but I left Radio Shack at the end of its high time, at the beginning of the dip. I jumped into Circuit City. They were commission only for all employees. They were...
Which also makes the hard sell something customers don't want.
Yeah, they taught the hard sell. They didn't target... They bring up a good point here. They didn't target gamers. They didn't target geeks. What Circuit City, at least when I was there, and I was there right at the end of Circuit City, is... They were going after the housewife. They were going after mom and dad. They
right.
were not.
Well, even not with gamers, but middle of the road. I remember the DVD doesn't exist yet at this point. The VHS era. You know, you'd have Best Buy stocking the Argento movies and the Italian horror flicks and the weird Russian sci-fi movies. You'd get those on VHS. Yeah, they're a little expensive, but they'd carry them. Circuit City was mainstream all the way. You want some weird offbeat title? Go to our competitor. We sell Air Force One. We sell The Matrix. We sell Bill and Ted. They aimed at the middle, and that's why they failed. Because what you could get at Circuit City, you could also get at all of their competitors. Whereas the other way, you go to Best Buy even. I can't believe I'm defending Best Buy. Best Buy would have things you couldn't get at Best Buy's competitors.
Right.
That was one of the problems, was we want to be the store for everyone. No, you fail.
Yeah, and Best Buy is starting to learn that same lesson, because after Circuit City failed, because remember, wherever there was a Best Buy across the street, there was a Circuit City.
That was a hell of a rivalry, though, and if I remember right.
Mean, that was a killer rivalry. Best Buy... They did the media thing where, yeah, you could get the odd stuff, the out-of-the-way stuff, and they used to have a huge anime section.
I remember that, yeah.
Now that Circuit City is dead, have you noticed that Best Buy is...
They don't need because they don't need to.
Yeah.
They don't... That's... I hate to say it, but competition spurs innovation.
Right.
With no competition, you can just sit back and go, where else are you going to go, bitches? What, Amazon? Yeah.
And unfortunately, Best Buy is learning that most consumers are
gonna
going
to go, yeah, Amazon. Yeah,
most consumers are going, yeah.
You know what? I'll pay the shipping.
And most of the time, no, you don't.
Well, yeah, if your order's over a certain amount. But yeah, exactly. I mean, in general, it's like, you know what? Fuck you, Best Buy.
Yeah, and Best Buy is learning that the hard way, and their stock prices are showing it. Radio Shack could be considered a failure. The company has been around for over 100 years. The market has changed, and what's weird about Radio Shack is they've worked through these storms before, because they started out as they were the nerd store.
They were the place to go to get your shit.
Exactly. They were the place to go to get your nerdy stuff. If you were building your own projects, they had everything you needed to do it, from resistors to project boxes to
the tools themselves.
To the tools themselves. And when the DIY electronics thing kind of failed, or at least waned in popularity enough to affect them, Radio Shack turned to consumer electronics and said, okay, we'll put some TVs in our stores. And hey, look, we've got these CB radios, and those are really popular. We'll throw those in there.
Cell phones are becoming a thing, right?
Well, that was later. You know, after the CB radios and the DIY communications thing, then they made the jump over into computers. And once computers kind of, you can't really sustain anything above a specialty store like Camera Corner or CyberWorks here in Green Bay, both of which are small businesses. You can't sustain a 7,000 store business on computers alone. Then they made the switch to cell phones. And unfortunately, Circuit City, Best Buy, and Radio Shack have all lost sight of that core audience. That is their failure. The brand is okay. The stuff, realistic stuff, and oh, it's not realistic anymore. It's Optimist now. But, you know, realistic and Optimist brands and some of the actual stuff that they sold at Circuit City and most of the stuff that they sell at Best Buy, I would stand behind as good products. And they're not badly priced or anything. It's just that all three of those stores had lost sight of their core audience.
Well, no, I'll disagree with you on the price thing. I mean, I know we're not even talking about Circuit City anymore, but like Best Buy, you know, the DVD might be, let's just say a DVD is $15 at Amazon. It's $25 at Best Buy. And you go, that's a major price. Everything you go to get at Best Buy is going to be more expensive than you can get it online. And that's what they don't seem to understand.
It's what I kind of look at that as a convenience cost. If you want it now and you want it in your hand immediately, then there's a convenience cost to that. Whereas with Amazon, it's order and wait.
Still.
Wait. But
yeah, Circuit City, I'd say, is not, it lasted 60 years. Yeah,
not a failure. Very, very successful individuals that ran Circuit City, and they've gone on to run other shows.
Said it in the video. They were the number two in the market when they filed for bankruptcy. I mean, yes, it's not a big market, but you were still the second. That would be like all of a sudden DC Comics going, well, you know, we can't compete with Marvel anymore. We're a failure. Oh, no, you're not. You know, number two going under is not a failure.
And now we move on to one of our favorite brands on this list. And I know, and you love this, don't you, Josh?
Number six, Blockbuster. Technically, this brand hasn't fallen off the face of the earth yet. But failing to adapt to changing trends, new services like Netflix, and escalating internet piracy mean Blockbuster is likely uttering its final death rattle. Here are the recent headlines. 2010, bankruptcy. 2011, bought by Dish Network. 2012, gave up competing with Netflix. The end of late fees did nothing to stop the end of this company.
The end of late fees. The start of more. The new Blockbuster.
Number five.
Okay.
All right. Blockbuster did this to themselves. Blockbuster, I know some people that used to be managers there, and they know kind of the history. Blockbuster fought every innovation that they could. Instead of jumping on the Netflix thing, they fought against it. Instead of jumping on when DVD started becoming popular, there was about 6 months where Blockbuster said, no, we will not carry DVDs. We're not going to rebuy all the movies that are in our stores. We're VHS. And then eventually DVD took over. And then when Blu-ray started, they did it again. No, we're not going to upgrade to Blu-ray. We're DVDs now. You know, and then when Netflix started taking, no, we're not going to do, that was the thing. Everything was, they had to be forced to innovate. That says right there, we have such a static business model, no pun intended, that we are doomed.
That one aspect is where Blockbuster failed. That one aspect. But let's look at their business overall. Again, not a failure.
Almost 35 years.
Yeah, almost 35 years. I remember when they were competing who was going to end up having the most city blocks, Blockbuster or Starbucks.
Yeah. Because, I mean, hell, in Green Bay at one point we had, what, four Blockbusters in Green Bay?
In Evansville, I think at one point there were over 10.
Yeah, and Blockbuster was a pop culture word. Even if you were not going to a Blockbuster store, if you were just going to go rent a video in the 90s, you'd say, I'm going to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Or, the Blockbuster will have that movie. Yeah. It didn't even have to be Blockbuster. That's not a failure.
Yeah, you'd end up going to Family Video or Dave's Video or something, you know, somewhere like that. But you were going to Blockbuster. It's like Kleenex.
Yeah.
You know.
Facial tissue.
Exactly. So, not a failure at all.
Again, Watch Mojo's defining failure as they finally went away.
Right.
Which doesn't mean failure.
Right. Now, Canadians, pay attention, because this next one's going to hit home for you guys. I know it will.
Research in motion. RIM targeted professionals with their BlackBerry smartphone, but once the iPhone came to town, CrackBerry was decidedly less addictive. By sticking with what made them famous and not focusing on games like Apple, they sealed their fate. Earnings dropped, CEOs left, and things looked bleak. But the booming smartphone market means that by pursuing emerging markets like South America and Africa, RIM could have a bright future after all. Number four.
So, okay. Did I hear that right? That they basically said, well, the third world doesn't have iPhones and stuff yet, so our outdated business model still works in South Africa, right?
Okay, RIM, I think we're seeing, we are seeing a weird mix here, because with our first few companies, the reason they are defined as failures, or were defined as failures according to this list, is because they innovated wrongly. Schlitz changed its formula, et cetera, et cetera. Versus the last two that we've seen, Research in Motion and Blockbuster.
Failure. Refused to change.
Failure to innovate. Refused to change. And I can't really fault RIM itself as a company, because they had some terrible leadership. And for a while, they had two co-CEOs.
Okay. Chief executive officer. That's like on a movie when you see co-executive producer.
Right.
No, the title means executive, means the boss. You right. have one of those.
You have to have every company. I mean, the most famous CEO, I don't know about famous, but one of the most well-known CEOs is Steve Jobs. The reason he was good at what he did was he could look at his team and go, no. Neat idea. No. And when it comes to RIM, for a while, they were getting neat idea. No. Yes. What? No. Yes. No. No. Maybe. I don't know. Yes. What? And there was no one person to fall back on the decisions. RIM, they have a brilliant idea. They're going, okay, we can't compete with Apple. Now Samsung has stepped up and we're having troubles competing with Samsung, but we still make good products. Let's take our products to places like South America. And this is Brazil. I'm sorry. I know you're the big majority, but the truth is there's a lot down there where cell coverage is sparse and cell phones are expensive and complicated. And people that like AT&T and Orange and T-Mobile and all the other big players don't want to step in because it would take a lot of infrastructure and stuff like that. Research in Motion is going, we'll give our phones to these people. We'll sell our phones to the people that don't need smartphones but sure would like a way to communicate with one another.
In a way, doesn't that still say they are refusing to innovate? They're just saying, we'll just sell it to people that don't have the ability to go to our competitors?
It's innovation.
It is sort of a giving up and just going, hey, you look dumb.
Well, RIM is, they're trying, but to tell you the truth, to innovate a new cell phone these days is very expensive. And RIM, CrackBerrys were good phones, and they were great for business, and they were extremely useful. And so I think of it as innovating in a different way. If you have a great product that no longer has a home where you previously had a home, you'll find a new home for it. That in itself is innovation.
I disagree with that, but okay. I disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
So,
but I think RIM may have a future. It's not going to be anywhere near where they were. And it's not going to be in the States. It's probably not going to be in Canada.
It's probably not going to be in the English world.
But they may have a future. Anyway, this next one.
107-year lifespan. Total of failure, right?
Exactly.
Oldsmobile. Olds was a pioneer in many respects, and one of the oldest auto brands around when General Motors shut it down in 2004. It was the first of many brand deaths at GM. Hummer, Pontiac, and Saturn all met their ends during the Chapter 11 reorganization. Ironically, it was competition from other GM brands that helped lead to the downfall of Oldsmobile.
This is about...
Okay, I know there's a commercial there, but
Again, I don't consider that a failure, especially because the only reason they don't even exist anymore is they had too much competition with themselves.
GM, okay, but when you think of GM, you've got in the 90s, you had GMC, you had GMC trucks, you had Oldsmobile. God, what other brands? Pontiac.
I'm not a car guy, so I don't know what all
the brands. They had about 30 different brands of cars. Lincoln, Pontiac, Hummer, Oldsmobile. There were tons. Jeep for a while. And you can't... That's basic business. Don't compete with yourself.
Yeah. If you want the consumer to look at your product over your competitors, not, okay, which one of your products should I choose because there's so many. Diversity is fine. Too much diversity is not.
And the truth is, GM, the parent company of Oldsmobile, and the parent company of Oldsmobile since GM bought Oldsmobile in, what, the 20s?
And then GM would go bankrupt a few years after that, the crash.
Well, they got rid of Oldsmobile in the crash.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's funny that the parent company was not on this list, but Oldsmobile is.
Right.
That's the irony I'm pointing out.
And why not Pontiac and Hummer and those other great brands that we loved that were at one point independent?
Because I don't think there is name recognizable. Because, well, like I said, Watch Mojo is going after your average housewife who's bored at work. Oldsmobile is a much more recognizable name than Hummer is, outside of the sexual term.
True. Or, well, like I said, Pontiac? Come on.
I still say Oldsmobile's probably got more name recognition than Pontiac does.
But anyway, I don't consider this a failure because GM didn't fail. GM reorganized and we lost the Oldsmobile brand.
Would essentially be a sub-brand.
Yeah. And so it makes sense to me. I don't consider it a failure. Here's the
Oldsmobile. Watch Mojo.
Yeah.
Getting down to business. Because the only chapter we're focused on is chapter one.
Chapter 11.
Number 3, Kodak. This company's Kodak moment is long over. In its heyday, Kodak dominated the U.S. film and camera markets. They practically invented the digital camera too, but waited too long to pursue the technology because they worried it would kill film sales. In 2012, they filed for bankruptcy, sold off many divisions, and stopped making digital cameras altogether. Polaroid almost met the same fate, but nostalgic hipsters kept it alive.
Okay.
Now, this one was not so much a failure on the company's part. I mean, they did rightly point out that they waited too long to move into digital because they were afraid of keeping the old model
failure to innovate. We're right back there.
But at the same time, the market itself changed so radically and so almost whiplash fast when you put it into a long enough timeline that I don't think any film company would have been able to survive that. It happened so relatively fast that there was no way you could have organized around it. You could have seen it coming, but once it happened, it was, well, that happened.
Well, I mean, within our lifetime, I remember in 1980 and stuff. In fact, my family still has them. My mom took photos and we kept slides.
I have a case of unopened Polaroid film in my basement.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I mean, within our lifetime, we went from the standard photographic deal going from slides to prints to digital. And that is insanely fast in the world of business.
Even within that, though, you also had from slides to photos was a relatively smooth transition.
Yeah.
From photos to digital was like a smash cut in a movie. Just boom, there. Yeah. I mean, in the relative sense, it was a smash cut from film to digital.
Yes.
And I think that's what gave people whiplash when it came to these companies.
And it was, again, failure to innovate. And yes, Kodak, guess what? They did invent the digital camera. They were a film company, so they were afraid, which I can kind of see where they're coming from. But again, you cannot call Kodak a failure. You can't. You can call it a winner of an old market.
You can also call it a, like you pointed out, failure to innovate, but you can also call it a string of bad decisions at the end.
Yes.
Fine, fair enough.
Yes.
But I'm really not sure if any other company with any other set of CEOs, given how quick that changeover happened, would have been able to do any better. I'm really not sure another company could have done it better or worse.
Polaroid wasn't. We lost Fujifilm. We lost, there were a lot of film companies that folded.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because they didn't even have the opportunity. You know, Kodak had a lot of resources and did a lot of research, and they tried. They tried to enter the digital camera market. Unfortunately, it was too late. And like
because
I said,
they were afraid of protecting their old model.
Right.
You know that it's like that conspiracy theory about the oil companies, that they have the electric, you know, not the electric car, but the like the water powered car,
yeah,
sitting there waiting for when this crashes. Hey, we've got the alternative. Problem is, they won't release the alternative first to make that transition easy. That's also going to be a smash cut.
Right. So that's what happened to Kodak. But again, far from a
not
failure.
Not a failure.
In any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Number two, Woolworths.
Everybody needs a Woolworths store these days.
The Woolworth brothers and their chain of five and dime stores established the sales, merchandising, and customer service standards in practice today. By the company's 100th anniversary, it was the world's biggest department store chain, but mounting pressure from competitors like Walmart caused its decline. Woolworths was officially declared defunct in 1997, but it still exists today under the name Foot Locker. Number one.
So yeah, Woolworths, first of all, I loved Woolworths. Back in the 80s, they carried like the trading cards and stuff that no other store did in this area. They had weird toys that no one, because you know, you'd have those kind of like knockoff G.I. Joes that now you'd find at like a Big Lots.
Yeah.
I loved those things. Woolworths was a great store. I remember going in there all the time, especially at Halloween. Oh my God, were they awesome in the month of October. Maybe that's just my memories, but I loved Woolworths. But yeah, they could not compete with Walmart. Walmart killed them.
Walmart killed a lot of things. But the truth is, let's also look at Woolworth and let's take a wider view. You heard them say that the business practices in still working today were invented by the Woolworth company. Those
they even mentioned at their 100th anniversary. Yeah, because that's a horrible milestone to hit, right?
Yes, it's a terrible failure. But the thing is, I mean, like I said, those circle ups that you have in the morning, if you've ever worked at a Walmart or any department store, they have like circle ups and meetings over on going over what they want to do for the day, and they get some of their employees involved in some of their management decisions, and they allow the employees to kind of own their store and own what they do. That's a Woolworths invention. The entire, I mean, marketing that Qdoba uses now, some of them were Woolworths inventions.
Well, and then one of the big differences that Woolworths had over any chain store, whether it be Walmart or whatever, was every Woolworth I ever went in the 80s or 90s, I don't know if this is going to sound right, but they were friendlier. The staff was much more honestly helpful, you know, and then if you were a regular, they knew you. It really was kind of that down home kind of store when you had one of these in your town.
And that was,
you don't get that at Walmart.
Right. And it's a shame, really. But let's looking at Woolworths, you can't keep up those down-home business practices and still maintain competition with Walmart, which is
kind of sad. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying it's a sad statement.
It's extremely sad. But again, that's a changing market that killed Woolworths, not their practices in any way, shape, or form.
And also, over 100 years, not a failure.
Right. And this is the one that pisses me off.
Pan American World Airways. Taking the top spot on our list is the world's most experienced airline. Innovations, unparalleled luxury, and hot stewardesses made Pan Am an industry leader and a symbol of American pride. However, a deadly terrorist bombing, plus increasing competition and fuel prices after the Gulf War took their toll. The company folded in 1991.
Unfortunately, we simply did not have the financial strength to absorb the enormously adverse impact of these external events.
20 years later, Pan Am inspired a nostalgic TV show, which also failed. Do you agree?
Okay, the TV show did fail. That was canceled after like
one episode.
Yeah, it was like, okay, that the TV show, that's a failure. Watch Mojo's fine on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also want to point out, because, yeah, that terrorist bombing, totally Pan Am's fault, right?
Well, you had the Lockerbie Scotland, and it makes sense because Pan Am was it became the U.S. Luxury liner.
Well, okay.
And again, this is a changing market. Air travel became cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to become the, let's face it, bus in the sky that it is now.
Have you ever seen 2010, The Year We Make Contact?
Yes.
Pan Am still exists in that
right
1984 version of the future.
Right.
As the industry leader of leading you into space.
Yes.
In 1984, that wasn't really reaching that far to think that Pan Am could have done that.
Well, no, Pan Am had... They had trademarked Pan Am Spaceways. They trademarked Pan Am Spaceways in the 50s because they were trying to innovate space planes to get people into space and then, you know, well, starting out as a suborbital hop, basically going Concorde. That's cute and slow, you know, but it was. Pan Am had all of these innovations. The reason you travel in the air the way you do now is because of Pan Am. And I don't care if you're flying in Estonia or Ukraine or in Alaska or in Canada or in Australia. I don't care if you're on Qantas or whoever is your airline. The reason you are treated the way you are is because of Pan Am.
At the same time, Pan Am is a joke. I mean, you look at any sitcom from the 90s even. You look at any sitcom. What's the punchline when it comes to air travel? Well, at least it's not Pan Am. Pan Am became a joke because of that perceived failure. That's what I think it is. It's a perception of failure. When you actually look at, they had just under, I think there were 68, 69 years, just under 70 years rounded of a history, of a strong history. Did they make fuck ups? Of course they did.
Who doesn't?
But again, it's not a failure when everything that they did is now copied in some form by their competitors now. That's not failing.
No. No. When you become the gold standard, even if it's for a minute amount of time, when you become the gold standard that people strive to be, which for Pan Am was in the, you know, from the latter 50s up until
91 when they went out.
The early 90s, they were the gold standard. If you were flying on Pan Am, it was an event. It was a big deal. And I remember flying Pan Am. I remember flying Pan Am into South America and whatnot. And it was,
I flew to Texas once and I do not remember what airline it was because I was such a little kid. I don't remember if I was on a Pan Am or not.
But well, I was on it. I still have Pan Am wings around here somewhere. But, you know, it was a big deal to my parents because you had the stewardesses that were, it was like the Pullman porters of the Pullman rail car company. There's a huge failure too, you know, the gold standard of rail cars. Well, that's,
why don't we just call the Hearst company a failure? You know,
exactly.
the Hearst newspapers, you know, at one point he only owned, you know, I think 3/4 of all the newspapers and radio stations in the country. And his company lasted for over 100 years doing that. What a loser Hearst was, huh? Yeah,
they're not around anymore. So
clearly the Hearst, well, exactly. They are technically still around, but
no.
Yeah. The Hearst company still publishes magazines.
No.
It says published by the Hearst Corporation, so they're still technically around.
No.
Whatever.
Failure.
Just, they're useless. That's my problem with this list, not just because of WatchMojo, but that perception thing. Like you pointed out earlier when we were talking about Schlitz, Coke is a perceived failure. Did their sub-brand of New Coke fail? Yeah, really bad. But Coke, as in Coca-Cola, did not. You know, it even goes to like movies and TV shows. Look at how many they just canceled the week we're recording this. Fox just canceled Almost Human. Okay. I did not like the show. I wouldn't call it a failure when it averaged 6 million viewers an episode. That's not a failed show. It's just a lower rated than its competition show. Well, failure is relative, man.
Yeah. Look at Firefly. Firefly in the ratings during its initial airing, not huge.
I think it was like 5-6 million.
Right. Now it has become a cultural phenomenon. There are brown coats everywhere. Rocky Horror Picture Show. In theaters, out of theaters, horrible failure when it was on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Became something more than it was intended to be. Pan Am is one of those brands that became more than it was intended to be. It couldn't survive because of, like I said, Lockerbie, Scotland, 9/11, a bunch of other things.
Not
9/11, the Gulf War.
Say they weren't around in 9/11.
Right.
But they did correctly point out how, again, this was unavoidable. When fuel oil went up after we started the Gulf War, what were they supposed to do? They had to pass those extra costs, those costs they incurred, onto the consumer. And the consumer went, fuck you, I ain't paying more.
And do you know what else? It fell to the exact same things. Eastern Airways, Piedmont Airways, tons and tons of regional and short flight carriers. Thanks mainly to the Gulf War and I might even say the war during the Clinton administration. You know, there were a lot of companies that fell to these outside influences. That does not make them failures. We're not the number one rated show anywhere.
No,
but I don't think we're failures.
But we do good.
Yeah. I don't think we're failures by any stretch of the imagination.
I would argue some of our haters might argue that. But
I don't care.
But yeah. Okay. Failure is not only a relative thing, but you have to look at it in the eye of perspective. Like, let's just say podcasts, for example. All of the first podcasts, the podcasts that truly brought podcasting to the fore, don't exist anymore. Not a single one of them is still around. Failures, right?
I think there's a couple that are still around, but yeah, it's pod fade and changing markets in the show The entire market of podcasts has changed. It's changed from, you know, Billy and Bobby in their basement blabbing away on a pair of headset mics to truly, you know, things like NPR getting into it and people like Nerdist building an entire industry around it. And it's a changed market.
It also depends on what your goal is to failure. Look at like Hill Street Blues back in 1981. Hill Street Blues is the lowest rated TV show to ever be renewed. Lasted 7 seasons and won more Emmys than any other TV show ever. Considered a failure because of its ratings. It won more awards than any other TV show of all time. Clearly, that's not a failure as a TV show. It is only a failure as a rater.
Right.
So failure has to be redefined depending on what your goal was.
And that's, if you take nothing else away from this show, please take away the fact that if you're an artist, if you are, even if you're a scientist or a project, whatever, you know, project leader, manager, I don't care, whatever project you undertake, if it does not meet your initial goals, that doesn't mean that you or the project is a failure. Keep plugging away, because there's a reason why Kodak is a household name. There's a reason why Pan Am is a household name. There's a reason why we all went to Blockbuster. There's a reason why, well, Best Buy doesn't have it. Let's check Circuit City. There is a reason why these companies are not failures. They may not be around. They may not be what they used to be, but they are far from failures and should not be called such.
I would like to see WatchMojo.com fail, though, because I really fucking hate that site, Scott. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We will see you guys next week.
I'm sorry. I really hate the site. No, don't you dare turn my mic down. No.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.